John Shannon from Sportsnet joins us now. John, before we get to the game, I want to talk about some of the off-ice stuff. Gar Snow, of course, was fired up. You know, he doesn't want the players going there again. We see Zetterberg injured. Of course, Paul Martin didn't play today for the United States, and he's going to be out for Pittsburgh. Do you think this will hurt the cause of the players going back, or do you think the players carry enough weight and their interest will allow them to go back in 18?
Jason, I think that the injuries don't play a factor at all. Okay. I think the politics of the situation will be that the players will want to go. The owners will say, we don't want to go. One of the owners of a hockey team happens to be Comcast that owns the rights in the United States. And I think that in the end, it'll end up becoming, unfortunately, a negotiated situation. And I fully expect somehow, some way that we will be talking about NHL players in South Korea.
Do you know, John, we've had a lot of people ask me, and I've been trying to find the answer, the insurance of that. Does the IOC, or that, do they have anything for the insurance? Are they, all those NHL teams on the hook for the insurance of guys who get injured at the Olympics?
No. The insurance is paid by the IOC and the IIHF. And that really was one of the sticking points, one of the negotiations, and one of the biggest differences between the Vancouver Olympics and Sochi was that because the player salaries have increased so much, that the insurance fees, which were about $5.5 million in Vancouver, were more than double. It were up to $12 and $13 million in insurance premiums that were needed to be paid.
Okay, so it's just obviously about losing some players. And I know Gar Snow said, oh, are they going to reimburse the season ticket holders? Well, we could jokingly say, Garth, are you going to reimburse them for having a losing team? I'm not sure I buy that one. So let's move to the on-ice games. It's been an interesting Olympics. The Czech Republic and Russia at times, it almost looked like they were sabotaging their teams rather than trying to win by some of the coaching decisions and player decisions. And then you've had it where the North American teams, for the most part, like, we haven't had a lot of offense, especially Canada, in this tournament. Their defense has been off the charts, John. But it's been kind of unique when you look at the European teams and some of them sabotage themselves, and how the North American ones, especially Canada, have struggled to score.
Well, as far as the Czechs and the Russians not using the players that we think are the best players, and the Slovaks for that matter, a lot of it has to do with loyalty to the national program. A lot of it has to do with the KHL. And really, guys like Andrei Pavlik, who were benched early in the tournament because he turned down an invitation to the World Championships last May, in the end, I'm not sure he rewarded them by having a mediocre game against the United States in the quarterfinals. So there definitely is that. And whether it's petty jealousy or just a power struggle in the politics of hockey in Europe, difference between philosophies of guys that played in the NHL and didn't. Hey, let's listen, Alex Hemsky might be the best example of that early on in the tournament. How many minutes did Alex play in that first game, if he played at all? And then by the end of the tournament, he was probably Czech's best player.
Do you think that will help his trade value in the next few weeks?
I don't think anybody noticed. I don't think anybody noticed. And I think that you have to you have to put into context of a European player playing on the 200 by 100 in a tournament that has little or no contact. And The only thing that really is the burden to Alex Hemsky getting traded is how much does the team have to pay for the remainder of the year. And other than that, and it, whether you think that he can be a vital cog, then that's where it is. Like, for instance, I think that Henrik Zetterberg's injury and the fact that he might be out 8 weeks, I think Kenny Holland might be looking at Alex Hemsky. Simply because I think that there's a little more that Kenny Holland and Mike Babcock think they can get out of a guy like Hemsky and fitting into the Detroit system. So, but I don't think that has anything to do with his play at the Olympics.
Yeah, I think it was more so for me, John, that here in Edmonton, he's playing in a defensive role, right? That's not Alex Hemsky's play. He's not a third-line defensive winger. And over there, he at least got to play with offensive guys. I like the Detroit connection. People have liked that for a long time. They love European players. They always find ways to make them successful in their system. So who knows? And Edmonton's in a situation where they've got tons of cap space. They could easily eat half of Hemsky's remaining contract. No problem.
Expiring contract.
Yep.
Expiring contract's the key.
What about Sam Gagner? What are you hearing?
Well, I think a lot has been on hold. I mean, there's always sorts of rumors, whether it's Nashville or whether you have to wonder whether the LA situation will warm up again. But at the same time, I think that most people, and when you consider the amount of general managers that have been involved in what's gone on in Sochi, I think you'll probably hear it starting to heat up tomorrow and on Sunday before the deadline, the Olympic deadline for trades expires at midnight on Sunday night.
Do you expect a flurry of moves, John?
I don't, because I think the same issue that occurred before the Olympics is going to occur again, and that's, there's two factors. How many teams think they still have a chance at the playoffs, so they're not going to be sellers? And everything's cap-related, and whether we like it or not, that has become a huge factor for teams, is how close you are to the cap. If you're going to trade a $4 million player, you better get $4 million in salary back. And that's where things are happening. And the days of a big club taking and alleviating some salary for a have-not team, I think those days are gone. And so the issues that occurred 2 weeks ago, I think, will rear their ugly heads up by March the 5th.
John Shannon from Sportsnet joins Gregor and Sotheby live at On the Rocks. John, let's go to the game at Canada-Sweden. To me, I just look at Canada's defense. They're just too good. I don't see how the Swedes break them down, especially without Sedin and Zetterberg. What do you think?
I think it's closer than most people think, simply because the Swedes will collapse. And, the Americans and the Canadians play such a complementary game to each other that it allowed the Canadian forwards to be aggressive. You talked about the defense being great for Canada, absolutely. But I also thought today the defensive side of the forwards' job was phenomenal as well. And I don't think that the Canadian forwards will have near the opportunities against the Swedish team that the Americans gave them, because the Americans were just trying to use their speed in the neutral zone for the breakout, and the Swedes will lay back and they'll wait for somebody to make a mistake. It could be a very frustrating game to watch on Sunday. Should Canada win? Yes. But I think it's going to be a lot more nerve-wracking and a lot closer than most people anticipate, and could go the other way when you consider the talent of Carlson and Henrik Lundqvist.
John, given that it's obviously going to be a little bit of a different style, I think Babcock probably wants to roll with the same lineup, but would you do anything differently going into Sunday with the forward group?
Brian, I wouldn't even let them shower tonight. you know this game better than I do. I don't think I've seen a team play a more complete game in every aspect of the game than Canada did today. They were just phenomenal. You can count on one hand how many mistakes they made in either zone. They used the larger ice surface to great effect. They were more aggressive. They were more creative. You saw more back passes today because the players knew that even if it didn't click, the opposition couldn't get to the puck either because of the extra ice. Mm-hmm. So there was more risks taken, at the same time more creative opportunities. Two good goaltenders. But, I mean, from a Canadian perspective, the Americans played into the way Canada wanted to play the game, and I don't think that it's going to be the same way on Sunday. I think the Swedes are going to, maybe dictate's the wrong word, but the Swedes are going to have a larger impact on how and where this game is played on the ice, and I think that's why they're still going to make it a closer game than we saw today.
John, Ted Nolan, what are you hearing? Will he get a contract extension in Buffalo?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that, and I think he would have gotten it before or after the Olympics. Let's face it, part of the interview process for the general manager's job was, what do you think of Ted Nolan? And almost to a man, any general manager or prospective manager that said, I want to have bring my own guy in, they didn't last very long in the interview process.
John, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the game.
You too.